How about now? Yay, good. I greet you again in the spirit and love of this season. Do we have anybody here for the very first time? We'd like to acknowledge your presence today and welcome you and remind you that when you bring friends, we have a small gift for them, a gift of popcorn, to thank them for popping in. Susan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me? Welcome to Mountain View. Welcome to the first Sunday of Advent. I just want to bring a couple announcements to mind. First of all, for you who've seen it, this is the Advent pamphlet, and it's out on the table in the narthex, and it lists all the activities that are going to happen in the next month for Advent. And it starts off, of course, with today. There's the Advent Marketplace downstairs in Barker Hall. And if you haven't seen it, you should at least go down and enjoy the refreshments and the hot spice cider. I just wanted to also emphasize that there's a blue Christmas service on December 14th and a German Advent service on Saturday, December 16th. And as I said, this is the guide for the Advent season, so be sure to pick one up before you leave today.
Would you stand and greet one another after we have the lighting of the Advent candles so you can remain seated?
Bum.
Okay.
Let's greet each other and then we'll do the Advent candles. So greet right. Each other.
Oh, you know, Ryan. I apologize.
All right, I think we got a little bit out of order, so we're going to light the Advent candle now. I'm used to standing up in the balcony and not having the mic in front of me, so hopefully everyone can hear me. Carter, can you please go light the candle? So this year, as we light the first Advent candle, we are remembering the titles that have been given to Jesus. Each of them comes from Scripture. It reminds us of one part of his ministry with us. In Jesus, we develop our faith and build our resilience. The first title comes from the lips of Jesus himself. There he says, "I'm the good shepherd." Someone had to plan ahead to see that there would be food and water for the flock. Helpless animals, sheep, need someone to tend to them when they are sick. And to shield them from their vulnerability. Spiritually, sheep are a good stand-in for people. Unable to heal our own hearts or to forgive our sin, we need the good shepherd to show us the way. Wanting for fresh pasture and clean waters, we look to Christ for our direction. When we place our trust in the Good Shepherd, we are completely abandoned. We discover the resilience we need for others.
Let us pray.
Father, we remember the tenderness of Jesus. We rejoice in our care. We pray that our church and our homes will be places where each person will know that he or she is cared for and that you are Lord. technical difficulties here. And we already lit a candle. Great. Thank you so much.
Our opening hymn is actually Around. You can see it in your hymnal number 207. Here's what we're going to do. I will sing it one time through. Then we will all sing it one time through together. Then you guys will start the round. And then you guys, just watch me. I'll bring you in and hang out with the choir there. If they start singing, you should be singing. And we'll sing the round twice. Okay? All right. Here we go. And prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. And all people will see the salvation of our God. Everyone. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way of the Lord, and all people will see the salvation of the Lord. This side, go. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way of the Lord,
As the choir makes their way to their seats, I'm going to invite kiddos, you to come forward, and we're going to sit on the edge of this stair over here. So come on up. We'll sit up here, I guess. That makes more sense. You all look lovely today. Are you well fed after Thanksgiving? Yes, excellent. You are well stocking hatted. I love it. Very cool. I saw some of you playing with the nativity sets over here. How many of you were looking at those or stickers with nativity? You know what I'm talking about, the nativity set? That's where you see the baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph. What are some other characters that you would see in a nativity set? Is SpongeBob in the nativity set? No. Gosh, okay, he missed out. Who else, Annie?
A lot of animals,
okay. What are some other characters? Think of like the Christmas story. What are some characters in that Christmas story? Yes.
Angels,
brilliant. Any other people that you can think of? Yeah.
Matthew
talks about all of these guys. Yeah, thank you. That Christmas story is in the Gospel of Matthew. Go ahead. I'm sorry?
Putin?
I'm sorry, I just didn't hear you, honey.
I said Putin.
Yes. So all of these characters are a part of this story. But there's one dude that we don't see in the nativity set, and his name is John. John the Baptist. Have you ever seen John the Baptist in a nativity set? He was the guy who baptized Jesus, and we don't hear about him until he's old. He's an old man when he's 30 years old. It's old back in the day, okay? So, John the Baptist, but John the Baptist is who we get to talk about today. Can you believe it? He's the guy who is supposed to tell all of us that Jesus is important and that we should prepare ourselves for Jesus to come. It's interesting that he's not a part of our nativity set, but you know why? John was only 3 months old as a baby when Jesus was born. So you can't have two babies in one picture. So they just left it with Jesus. But today, we hear a story from John the Baptist, and he says, prepare the way for the Lord. And what he's talking about is making our minds and our hearts ready to be surprised and to be healed and to know that we are loved and all of those good things. So one thing I want you to think about this week is whenever you see a light, I want you to think about one person or one situation and look at that light and see if you can see that person in the light in a way that makes them beautiful, makes them someone that you would hug, someone that you're thankful for. Okay, so you can look at a light, and I'm thinking of my grandma. My grandma died about 10 years ago, but I put her in the light because I'm thankful for her. And when I do that, I prepare myself for all of the other surprises and all of the other beauty that we are going to encounter during this Advent and Christmas season, okay? So can you think about that? Every light that you see, a stoplight, a candle, a flashlight, maybe your nightlight, you can hold someone in the light and remind yourself that you're thankful and you're preparing yourself to be thankful for Jesus coming. Can we pray together?
Yeah.
All right, let's pray. You repeat after me. Dear God, thanks for John the Baptist. And for letting him point to the light. The light of Jesus. Help us see people and situations in the light and be grateful. We love you, God. Amen. Thanks, guys. You can head back to your seats.
For your gifts, O God, we give you thanks. For your love, for your encouragement to live lives open to your Holy Spirit. For the scriptures that guide us and the hearts that nurture us. For the love that you share with us through our family and friends. Make us open to strangers, Lord, to share with them the wonderful Advent news. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, please stand up.
Join me in the beginning of the spiritual meditation. May the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and redeemer. The reading this morning is the proclamation of John the Baptist from the New Revised Standard Version, which is found in your Pew Bible 8. On page 812. This is the reading from Mark 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Susan. Well, it seems that the Gospel of Mark had a great impact on my language when I was a kid, because my favorite word was suddenly. I'd come home from the grocery store and say, "Dad, Dad, suddenly we got apples." I would have a few stories that I'd make up, and I'd have characters suddenly going here and suddenly doing this. And it's still a story that brings a smirk to my dad's face when he tells it. Mark 2 is a gospel that moves so suddenly. Within the first verse of this gospel, we hear the main character are reminded of the purpose and that transformational message. This is the good news, transformational message, of Jesus Christ, character, the Son of God, purpose to name and claim. We're swept right into this New Testament without the genealogies that we read in Matthew and Luke, or that epic, mystical beginning in the Gospel of John. There's not even a once upon a time. So what's the urgency? Well, I think it can be best expressed through the Hellenistic or Roman world's interpretation of the word gospel, the good news for the battlefield. The good news for the battlefield. There's no waiting around in that kind of climate, that kind of context, the battlefield. No. And Mark won't wait around either. Instead, he zooms us back to Isaiah as if we get a quick flashback to set the scene. I'm sending my messenger to get the way ready for you. Someone is shouting, "Make straight a path for him." Now, the Gospel of John talks about this messenger as the one who will point to the light. He is not the light, but he has come to tell about it. And so here we are in Mark. Enter John. John the Baptist. He's a scraggly fellow at best. He wears camel hair, eats locusts. It seems like he would be a character that had just come off the set of Ultimate Survivor or Lost, right? Here's John. He's a wild guy. And in case you feel a little whiplash that you've lost your breath or lost your place in the timeline of this season, I want us to pause and remember that this wild John that we meet in Mark is about 30 years old. Yes, an old man. But way back during that first Christmas, that Christmas tableau, we see a baby John, Jesus' cousin, just 3 months old. Maybe you'll remember Mary and Elizabeth meeting. Mary, with Jesus in her belly, goes to meet her cousin Elizabeth, and John jumps inside her with joy. This causes me to ponder, what do we need a messenger for? Did we miss something? I mean, did John even meet his cousin Jesus? Are we going to ignore or maybe doubt the Messiah or who he is when he comes? If we go back to that Christmas tableau, we can be reminded that the shepherds had lots of angels to tell them that the Savior was coming. The wise men had a star. Mary met Gabriel, and Joseph had an epic dream. Even Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, was struck mute so he would be fully aware of the impact and the consequence of this special child to be born. So much time has passed between this moment of Jesus' birth and the shouting cry from John that we hear in today's gospel reading. I suspect the shepherds have retired. They're looking through their photo album, you know, some good old black and whites, and they come across pictures that are overexposed, of course, you know, too much light. Night shots are really hard to capture. And then there's the wise men. They're probably writing their memoirs, tomes, if we know them. And still, there's struggle, injustice, heartache, still exists in this moment. People still have a longing for freedom. Roman rule is still as brutal when John cries out as it was when Jesus was born. These expressions of the wilderness, of the battlefield, topple, cripple, and distract people even from the most exciting of news, liberating and hopeful message of a Messiah. Our own struggles can do this too. Perhaps you can relate of how you've been distracted when you're ill or when you have marital disharmony. Perhaps in your dead-end job or around uncertainty with national politics, distraction comes. It's really easy to lose sight when you're grieving over someone you've lost or something that is no longer with you. All of these things can so disrupt our vision or even that deep intuition that we have that there is an everlasting love and peace that can be known with, in, and through God. We're in the battlefield, maybe waiting for or even doubting any good news. And so it is into this very real circumstance, both ancient and present, that John proposes two things: baptism and preparing our hearts for God. Now, in reflecting on Mark's words, I grew curious about what baptism meant for John back in the first century. I'm not sure it was close to the Wesleyan Christian understanding of belonging, God's grace being poured out, and a commitment of ongoing relationship through faith and community. According to scholars, baptism before Jesus sprung off the scroll of Leviticus that called the chosen people to cleanse themselves from ritual impurities. This would include touching a corpse or touching someone who had leprosy. And once a person cleansed themselves, they were allowed to make sacrifices in the temple. Gentiles, those who weren't a part of the chosen people yet, could become a part of this group, but through baptism, along with circumcision, so that they would fully live into that sign of the covenant that was shared with Abraham. So here we see that baptism is a ritual that's mostly drawn around a purity code. There is a group, however, called the Qumran. They were an ascetic desert sect, which we might know best by the fact that they were the authors of the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Qumran. They baptized as well. They followed the Leviticus ritual of purity. But they also had the Manual of Discipline. It was a community rule that said, one cannot be clean if one fails to obey God's commandments. Therefore, baptism allows the flesh to be made clean by the humble submission of a person's soul to all the precepts of God. Essentially, they're cleansing their heart, making it clean through baptism to be in connection with God. The Qumran longed for freedom of oppression. They wanted Isaiah's Messiah more than anything. They wanted gospel, the good news for the battlefield. And it's into this context that we meet John. Baptism for John could bring people closer to the heart of God by clearing out the gunk in their own hearts. Some scholars believe that John was a part of this desert sect, the Qumran. But even if he wasn't, he longed for the same things. His yearnings were similar, and thus he had similar means of preparing for such a fulfillment. John thus extends preparation beyond baptism of purity to baptism of repentance. John believed that we all need to claim our limitations and the things that block us from seeing the huge and powerful Almighty God. This is repentance. Yes, God would lead the way because we can't make it flawless with our imperfections. Instead, we acknowledge that even in the desert, the wilderness, our own struggles, We can anticipate and expect God to take and make the way. In my interpretation, this is the preparation toward utter humility and vulnerability in order to be awed and changed. So we prepare in our limitations, our struggles, and even feelings of being unworthy. We long for good news in this battlefield, and so we claim Mark 1:1 again. The good news of Jesus Christ is coming, even in struggle. John the Baptist, the messenger, he's not going to let us be distracted or despondent and miss the light to come. Now, when I think of the arrival of Jesus and the preparation and anticipation that John the Baptist is trying to invoke on people, I can't help but think of the musical Music Man and that great song, "Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a-coming down the street. Oh, please let it be for me." Anyone know that one? It's a good one. You know, River City, they had trouble with a capital T that rhymed with P that stood for pool. You're right. But the wagon, that carrier of all sorts of magical things was coming and would turn that trouble right upside down. As a side note, I think the Amazon drones have a lot of hype to build up before they get to the song-inspiring status of the Wells Fargo wagon. But here we are, this anticipation of how we can come into good news. And it's this anticipation, this awareness that John the Baptist wants to make us claim. This anticipation so that we can embrace the good news. And when we have this anticipation, and with the recognition of our own limitations and distractions, we are led to a humility that opens our hearts to embrace a larger and truer picture, to be truly excited about what's worth being excited about. What we don't see until verse 9 is that John actually baptizes Jesus. Now, we've heard in these last verses that John didn't feel worthy of this calling. He said, "I can't even untie the dude's sandals." Here he is feeling unworthy. Maybe you've been in that place too. You're feeling unworthy, maybe unready, not quite put together yet. Maybe you haven't done the right things or have done the wrong things, and you're just not ready to come before God. But here we see how even the unworthy baptizes the Savior. Even the ordinary becomes sacred and plays a part in spreading the gospel. And so it is with this excited anticipation and humility that we prepare. We prepare our hearts in a way of preparing a path, kind of like the one you see on a screen. That didn't happen overnight. It's not like a snapshot that you take with Santa and you put in the memory book. Instead, this preparation is a preparation of a long-term memory or a holding place. It's not that cute snapshot or a maxed-out credit card that we'll think about next month, but it's a creating of a pattern, a practice. Because after the picture-perfect, oh, holy, silent night, we return to the wilderness. Mary and Joseph and Jesus had to flee to the wilderness of Egypt because King Herod wanted to kill any child under the age of 2. In our own society, January has the most suicides than any month of the rest of the year. It is into this wilderness, this battlefield, that we have to come with prepared hearts and a practice that can be so crucial. Likewise, baptism of repentance for us and even Jesus is not a precursor or a requirement, but an empowerment for ministry. Baptism of repentance is an empowerment for ministry. We are empowered to live into John's suggestions of baptism and preparation by creating a pattern and a practice for our daily lives. And as you've heard me say before, there's no better place to practice than in worship. I kind of gave this homework to the kids already, but I'm going to ask us to live into it too. There's a way of practicing, of preparing our hearts for God, preparing the way for God in our hearts and in our lives that mimics John, who pointed to the light. So for a minute, I want you to lift up a person or a struggle or even yourself into the light and see it for all of its beauty and all of its shadows. And then you're going to commit to holding this person or this situation in the light where it can be fully seen as it truly is, where it can be seen in the light and experience healing and compassion. That's what exists in the light, whereas the shadows breed resentment and distrust. So take a moment, have that person in mind. Use any light that you see in the sanctuary, the candlelight or the Christmas tree or wherever. Hold that person in the light. See their rough edges and also see how those rough edges are made smooth. See how your connection to that person or thing is also smoothed as you see them for who they truly are. It is in this practice that we make ourselves open to God's mercy and compassion, aware of God and the good news even in the wilderness. I invite you to take this practice into your daily lives. We have lights everywhere, and maybe even the stop light will be a good place to hold someone in the light. See, the good news, the light, Jesus Christ is coming even in the wild struggles into the battlefield. In the midst of the wilderness, the good news returns us to ourselves that we might realize all that we are. We are not the battlefield, but instead the empowered, open-hearted people of God. We can actively, with courage and longed-for hope, live out the good news in the battlefield while letting God take the lead along the way. However suddenly or subtly this happens for you, may it be true for each of us during this season. Amen. We are going to claim the gospel, the good news, today as we recognize how the ordinary is made sacred through communion. And it is here that we take in compassion. We claim John's invitation of repentance this day, so our humility will encourage us to live in the light and peace with one another. So let us offer our limitations, our brokenness, our confessions to God in a moment of silence. Let us ask for Christ's mercy.
Kyrie eleison.
Kyrie eleison.
Christ eleison.
Christ eleison.
Kyrie eleison.
Kyrie eleison.
Hear the good news. Christ died while we were all sinners. This proves that God's love is for us, all of us. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And all God's people said,
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
It is good to give our thanks and praise to you, Holy God. You are the one who sent streams to sustain our sheep and planted fields of abundance for comfort and nourishment. You promised the coming of an anointed one who would lead the people to peace and righteousness. You promised that life through love would be for all. To hopeful anticipation, we give thanks to you. God of creation, God of sacred ordinary, God of the broken and unworthy, God of us all. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy.
Son Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh, who came to show us the way to love. He proclaimed good news to the poor, shepherded the lost, and guided the weary. He called the children to his side, for he came first as a vulnerable baby, that everyone might see the beauty and power of humility and innocence. Holy are you, and holy is your Son Jesus Christ, who was betrayed by those who loved him, who was persecuted by those who feared him, who was crucified by those who thought his death would be the end of him. But instead, the love he offered in the cup and the bread continue to fill each of us as holy vessels. So on the night in which he gave himself up, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks to you, O God, and broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, O God, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of a new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until
Will you pray with me? Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Make this be a reminder of how each of us are called to prepare the way of God in our hearts and in this world. May such a reminder fill us with the hope and direct us in the way of the heart for all. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Let us sing, Amen.
Let us join together in the Lord's Prayer, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
During our communion opportunity, you do have a chance to receive healing prayer from one of our members of the care team. Carol will be in the back if you'd like to receive prayer. I'll invite you to come by the usher's invitation by the center aisle. You can take a piece of bread, dip it in the cup, and then either kneel at the altar for prayer or return to your seat. Gluten-free items will be on the side by the Advent wreath. And I just want to say an extra word that as you come by this area, it is a little tight. So be aware that there's fire and just be conscious of that, okay? Fire and children, what a great combination. So anyway, this table is open for all people, whether you're Methodist or not. This is the Lord's table. So come, taste and see that God is good. I'll have those who are helping serve communion come forward now.
Thank you. Are there others who desire the sacrament?
There is always an abundance of God. I'm grateful for it. I think we get to sing now. So let's stand. And as we give thanks and praise for God for taking these ordinary things and making them sacred, let us sing, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." Friendly reminder that the Advent Marketplace will continue after this service, and we do have a gift, an Advent gift for you all. There is a devotional for the season out on the welcome table, so if you'd like something to read each day, it is yours to have from this church. Dear ones, as you go out into the world, maybe feeling ordinary or even unworthy, know that you are made sacred so that you can share the gospel with everyone, that you can prepare your hearts with a little bit of practice, pointing to the light, for there is God, and God is with you this day and evermore. Go in God's peace and grace. Amen.